Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. This episode is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. 10 games on tap for Wednesday. But going through it and preparing for this podcast, usually on a 10-game slate, just tons of players I love. And just I'm feeling all giddy. Maybe it's just the fact that the Tuesday night sucked. The DFS, at least my lineups. Hopefully, you guys did better than me. But like, I don't know. Man, I'm sure as Wednesday, as the day progresses, things are going to open up. But it's a tricky slate for 10 games. I'm struggling to find guys I want to spend up on. So we'll throughout the show, hopefully, we will talk through it together and we will get through it. We will survive and hopefully we will dominate it and make a lot of money. Tuesday certainly did not go my way. Hopefully, like I said, you guys did better than me, better than the judge. It started with OKC. I mean, I had Westbrook everywhere. And when OKC gets blown out, that's really all you need to know. I could have, unfortunately, that game didn't start until 10:30 Eastern time. So, I'm still sweating out some other players that turned out nothing mattered because Westbrook had 30 FanDuel points. And when you're almost $13,000 like he was on Tuesday, that just can't happen. Also for me, I had Derrick Rose in a couple lineups who I hate more than life itself. Morally inept and I think I've made my feelings on him known, right? I think he should be locked up in jail for reading the transcripts and the court proceedings that he went through in the offseason. But anyway, he dealt with back spasms, and I think he gave me 2 or 3 FanDuel points before he went out for the entire game. And obviously that cannot happen. If that happens to your lineup, you get destroyed. So, and then also for OKC, what was frustrating, I mean, once Westbrook went out, that basically destroyed my lineups. But like that whole game was weird. The coach for OKC, and it's slipping my mind. I'm telling you, my memory's getting worse and worse when I do the late night pods at 3 a.m. I wonder if there's like some correlation between my lack of sleep and doing and remembering like certain things like coaches' names. Oh, Billy Donovan, there you go. He did not give our boy Enes Kanter minutes at power forward. Everyone eats away at the Portland bigs, the Portland power forward position, and Stotts. Donovan did not give him a chance to go after Stotts power forward. So Kanter barely played. I mean, he played 15 minutes or whatever, and that was disgusting. And Kanter was heavily owned in almost all the tournaments that I was in. Anyway, let's talk Chambers real quick. We had 3 Chambers. I think this was the first time all year that we ran 3 different Chambers. I mean, I'm getting about maybe 100 DMs a day to get into Chambers. So we need to come up with a better strategy how to do Chambers, especially – first of all, doing 3 is an administrative nightmare. The demand is certainly there to do it. I just don't know if it's feasible for me to do 3 every day. But I'm going to give it some thought and figure out what to do. Also, the chambers are heavily weighted. So like kind of, typically the first chambers will have the highest scores. So, I mean, it kind of gets quirky then when you're doing power rankings, you got to have the chambers weighted a little bit. But so we need to figure out what's the best way to do it. Now, the best thing would be if FanDuel would let me have like a 50-person tournament. So I'm working with them. Hopefully they'll allow me to do that. But right now it's not the case. But we did have 3 of them on Tuesday. Charismatic Enigma won his first chambers of the year. He had a monster lineup. 346 on Tuesday night slate was great. So congrats to him. MG Fresh also won a chamber, and THOMPSMD, Tomps MD, I guess, had a 320.6 score. He took home the third chamber. So again, we had 3 chambers, 60 people participated, and I had lots of people I couldn't get in. So again, I will try to do my best to figure out a better way to get everyone in the chambers that wants to be in. Because I mean, right now we could be running like 5 or 6 a day. It's just, that's just too hard for me to do, you know. And the bailiff, he's so lazy. He just sleeps and plays with it and eats treats. He won't open up chambers for me. But I'll figure it out. In the meantime, maybe we'll keep running 2 to 3 a day. You know, probably 2 and not 3, but we'll see what we can do. Dream Killers, you know, OKC, the entire team was a disaster. Derrick Rose, obviously, I just mentioned. Devin Booker. I had a lot of you guys on Twitter kind of asking me, you know, Judge, what's up with Devin Booker? It's pretty simple with him. He's just lost his confidence. I mean, when you have a one-trick pony who starts missing shots, especially one that's like 20 years old, like Devin Booker, he loses confidence, and he hasn't developed the rest of his game yet. So when his shot's not falling, he's utterly useless on the court. And that's kind of what happened on Tuesday. Even though that Phoenix Knicks game went to overtime, you know, Carmelo still didn't put up a big line. Devin Booker was just a monster disappointment in an overtime game with a high over under. I really thought Derrick Rose was in an ideal spot at a nice ownership level. And I thought Devin Booker was primed to break out, because he was still performing. He's been performing decent with the shot not falling. But on Tuesday, it just all went to hell. Enes Kanter, mentioned him. Lillard, even though, you know, Portland blew out OKC, Lillard didn't have a big game either. So if you spent up like I did at point guard and had some Westbrook Lillard lineups, you probably, you know, had some whiskey pretty early in the night. I mean, I was drinking whiskey in the shower. I didn't know if water was hitting my suit, my smooth skin, or if it was whiskey. I was drinking everything in the shower. It was delicious. And then you had, yeah, the other guy from OKC is I kind of went all in on Morrow, and he didn't even start for OKC. I think that's why I'm blacking out the coach's name. I don't even want to think about that nightmare debacle. They ended up starting Grant, which, you know, I was kind of tweeting and DMing and reading all the OKC papers, and all indications, at least to me, were that Morrow was going to get the start and not Grant. So that was a little surprising. And even if he didn't start, I still thought he was going to get big minutes, and he didn't get big minutes either. He basically got Kanter minutes. So just a disaster game for that Oklahoma City Thunder game. And then Aaron Gordon. I don't know if you guys saw the Orlando Magic Atlanta Hawks game. I mean, it was like 150 to 140. It was no defense. It was a summer league game. It was a D league game. And everyone for Orlando went nuts except Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon started the game amazing. He had like 10 FanDuel points in like the first 6 minutes. And I played him in a couple of tournaments, and I'm like, this is fantastic. He's going to easily, you know, hit value and surpass it and crush it. He ended up with like 15 FanDuel points, maybe not even that, 14. So we just can't play him anymore, even though we still can. But it's just, we just have to expect that he's going to be a dud forever. I mean, they refused to play him minutes. Jeff Green got 30 minutes. You know, Jeff Green has been on 17 teams in the NBA. They just will not give Aaron Gordon minutes. And it's frustrating because he actually started out the game really well for them. Dream Lovers, even though there weren't a lot of them in my lineups on Tuesday, and this is where I told you about DFS. Remember how, you know, on Monday we had a glorious night, made hundreds, thousands, and every, you know, DFS will humble you, man. So you can't let a bad night get you down. It's gonna happen. It happens to the best of us. So you can't let it faze you at all. And that's also why you have to have skills like, you know, things like such as bankroll management. Hopefully you guys, you know, are you know, managing your money properly, not going crazy on a slate. You know, even if you have a good night, it doesn't mean the next night you double what you're playing. You know, you stick to your bankroll management. You know, it's very important, you know, that you have, you know, proper procedures in place. And if you need kind of any tips on that, just let me know. I'm going to try to do a show, you know, when there's a smaller slate, and kind of touch on those topics, like how I build my lineups, my research tools, you know, bankroll strategies, attacking GPPs versus cash games, and single entry tournaments. Because the one thing that I notice the most, especially from the beginners that I'm working with, is that I'm seeing way too many lineups that are GPP lineups that you're throwing in cash games, and I'm seeing too many cash game lineups that you guys are throwing in tournaments. So that's something that we kind of got to get better as the season progresses. But I will say the people that the newbies and everyone that's tweeting at me and been following me for the first month and a half of the season or so has been getting a lot better. So that's good to see. And just don't let a bad night, you know, get you down, because it's going to happen. I mean, you know, it's just nothing you can do about it. We, you know, body parts are going to break down. Derrick Rose's back is going to go out. Devin Booker's going to miss shots. It's going to happen. Dream Lovers, though. So as I was saying, I mean, that Orlando Magic and Atlanta Hawks game was just ridiculous. So obviously guys in that game went nuts. If you had Dennis Schroeder, you know, he did great. I think Dwight Howard did good. Evan Fournier, you know, went nuts. Ibaka went nuts. Elfrid Payton had another 50 burger. I think charismatic Enigma and Chambers played played Elfrid Payton. I did not want to get on the Payton train. I mean, that was one of the games. The Orlando game was one of the games that I kind of avoided. And it's just, you know, the game with the lowest over under of the night shouldn't put up a 260 point, you know, over under. That shouldn't happen. But that DFS weird thing's gonna happen, and it did on Tuesday. Jimmy Butler did good. Kevin Love did good. I mean, you guys probably saw with the news, Kyrie went out, so that made Love and LeBron, you know, really good plays. Although LeBron didn't have that nice of a game. Although 40 points from him, you know, was fine on Tuesday. It was better than Westbrook and better than Derrick Rose. Kyle O'Quinn went nuts for the Knicks, and I think it's getting to the point where I think in the season long, you should pick O'Quinn up. He's just clearly a better player for the Knicks. Especially when the Knicks are playing, fast paced teams like Phoenix, like they did on Tuesday. But you know, Joakim Noah, he's gone. He can't play anymore in the league. He's a disaster. He's a walking zombie. So Kyle O'Quinn, he had like over 40 FanDuel points. As long as he can stay out of foul trouble, which for him is impossible. Once every few games, maybe he will. But you know, he's always been a fantasy point per minute monster, and he played really well against Phoenix on Tuesday. So if you played him, congrats. Drew Holiday. You know, one of my big decisions was Rose or Drew Holiday, and I went 50-50 on that. Unfortunately, in some of my bigger tournaments, I went Rose, and that's where it really hurt me. But Drew Holiday's, keep an eye on him. He's starting to get big minutes and play a lot better. He had over 35 FanDuel points for the second straight night. So he played well. J.R. Smith finally hit shots for the Cavs, which he hasn't done all year long. And he finally did it. I think he hit six threes. I think he had like 30 FanDuel points. So for him, that was a miracle. Andrew Wiggins played really well against Jimmy Butler. That was surprising. And the Bulls was a horrible loss at home to Minnesota. The Bulls they've beaten like the two best teams in the NBA. Or you could say two of the best teams. They beat the Spurs and they've beaten the Cavs. And they lost to the two worst teams, Dallas and Minnesota, at least in terms of record. So the Bulls are a weird team to figure out. And Zeebo looked good for Memphis. Draymond Green had a 50-point burger. Ricky Rubio actually came to life a little bit. And Tyson Chandler, that hurt me as well, too, because I went Steven Adams, and Tyson Chandler was the better play. All day long, I thought Alex Len was probably going to play. Alex Len did not play. And plus, I wanted to fade Chandler coming off that really nice game. I thought his ownership was going to be a little too high for me. But he maybe he's coming back to life. He had over 40 FanDuel points again. I mean, see, this can be a part where it hurts me that I watch so much basketball. I've watched him play so much the last 2 years where he's looked just like he's just a Benjamin Button, and he's looked dead on the court, like he's had nothing left. And he's been re-energized at least the last few games, that's for sure. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with minutes going forward with him, because I still think that, you know, there's no reason to play him. Hopefully they can trade him. And when Alex Len gets healthy, they can start giving Alex Len minutes, because you know, he's the future. If there is a future, it's Alex Len's a future, a part of the future of Phoenix, and not Tyson Chandler. There's going to be lots of injury news on Friday or on Wednesday, so you guys gotta be sure to monitor the news. I mean, you probably saw on Tuesday how crazy it was before lineup lock when you had the Kyrie Irving news, you know, hit, and you had a bunch of other things happen that made us all kind of scramble. And that's relatively common, especially on big slates. So there's lots of moving pieces. You know, for the most part, you can kind of predict, you know, if guys are questionable and if you hear news, who you want to pivot to. But with the Kyrie news, that came out of the blue. So then that's when it can be a little tougher. But the injuries on Friday so far, looks like Bayless is going to be out again. Nerlens Noel is questionable. Deion Waiters is out. Justice Winslow is doubtful. Rodney Stuckey is questionable, which sucks because he was a really nice play a couple nights ago. Austin Rivers is questionable. Vucevic did not play on Tuesday. He's questionable again on Wednesday. Rudy Gay is doubtful. So is the bum Ben McLemore. Cleveland, They're going full Popovich mode on Wednesday. Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love didn't even make the trip to Memphis, so neither of them are going to play. I guess Cleveland's going to be rolling out a lineup of like Liggins, J.R. Smith, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye, and Tristan Thompson. You know, and I guess Jordan McRae would be a decent play as well. It's going to be just weird to play those busters on Wednesday. But at least does give us some value plays if you want to go that route. Rodney Hood is questionable. Derek Favors is finally, I think, going to come back on Wednesday and play for the first time in what seems like 14 years. So it'll be good to have him back. I would not play him yet because I would expect him to be on a strict minute limit. But check the news there. I think it obviously hurts guys like Trey Lyles or Fat Boris Diaw if you were playing those guys. And George Hill is still out, so I think Mac Daddy is still in play. Oladipo, because stupid Oklahoma City has to play again to torture me. Oladipo is questionable with that sprained right wrist. And Isaiah Thomas is going to be out with a groin. So you can fire up a little Marcus Smart if you want as Boston plays the Spurs. Over-unders for the day. We're still waiting for three of them. You know, the Cleveland-Memphis game, probably because Vegas has no idea what to do after if you're taking out Cleveland's three best players. Clippers-Orlando, there's no line, although that's a game that's going to be a disgusting game. Even though Orlando went nuts on Tuesday, I would expect that game to be pretty nasty, and I have a low over-under. And then OKC-Utah, there's no – because I guess they're waiting for Oladipo and maybe some Favors news on how many minutes he's going to get. There's no line there. In terms of the games that we do have a line for, the best one by far, just a fantasy gold mine that we're all going to flock to, and rightfully so, Lakers at Brooklyn. I mean, we'll get into defensive versus position in a minute. The two best teams you can attack in the NBA are the Lakers and Brooklyn. So it's a 228-28 over-under. Brooklyn's favored by 1.5. It's going to be a close game. You know, I'm sure the Lakers are all out in New York City right now partying, so that worries me a little bit. You know, granted, they're all under 21. They can't even get in clubs. That will stop them. But so that's got fantasy gold written all over it. Sacramento at Houston, 217 over-under. Sacramento is playing way up in pace. And remember, Rudy Gay is probably not going to play. So that's an intriguing game. Houston is favored by 9.5. But you guys know my strategy with blowouts at this point, right? It's you know, I'll consider it a little bit, but I'm not going to let it phase me if I think someone's a good play. And Charlotte at Washington's a 212 over-under. In terms of some disgusting games, Detroit at Dallas, two of the teams that are really, really good in defensive versus position, and a lot of that is just because of pace, less possessions, less fantasy points, right? 189.5 over-under. Normally, you know, if it's under a 200 over under, it's a game you don't want to target too much. Under a 190, that's a disgusting, sickening, horrifying, revolting game that we should probably try to avoid on a 10 game slate. But there's always good plays everywhere. Teams playing up in pace. Teams, you know, you guys know I like to attack that. The Lakers playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. Utah, because Utah always playing up in pace. They're playing OKC. The Kings playing up in pace against Houston and Miami. Miami's a sneaky team I think I'm going to attack on Wednesday against Indiana. And speaking of Indiana, let's move on to defensive versus position. Indiana has become a sneaky team that you can almost attack at every position. And it's kind of under the radar. I mean, everyone knows you can attack Brooklyn and the Lakers. I mean, you know, Brooklyn, last to point guards, third last to shooting guards, last to small forwards, second last to power forwards, last to centers. And when I say last, I mean that means they give up the most to those positions. So Brooklyn gives up the most out of five. There's only five positions on a basketball court, and Brooklyn gives up the most points to three of those positions. That's just horrifying, man. But Brooklyn is fun to watch, man. I'll say that. The Lakers are almost equally as bad. They give up the sixth most FanDuel points to point guards, the second most to shooting guards, third most small forwards, third most power forwards, and second most center. So you can attack the hell out of those two teams. Indiana, though, is a little bit under the radar because they give up like the ninth most to point guards, the ninth most to shooting guards. Small forwards kind of middle of the pack, but the eighth most to power forwards and the 10th most to centers. And so I think the Miami-Indiana game is a sneaky game. There's a lot of players that I'm going to attack, and I'm probably going to have one or two lineups where I stack that game as well. In terms of other things that stick out to me where you can normally attack, for point guards, you know, you always can attack Russell Westbrook defense because he doesn't play any. So that means, you know, Utah, Shelvin Mack, that probably gives him a little bump. If he's even if he doesn't start, I don't care, and I don't play Exum. I only play Mac for Utah right now. And let's see, you can attack Sacramento at the power forward position. So maybe that makes me bump up the Houston guys. Maybe a Ryan Anderson I play a little bit more at center. You know, you can attack Whiteside, and that's why I love that Indiana Miami game. You can attack kind of both sides. Miami gives up the fifth most points to opposing centers. And that's about it that stands out for me. I mean, I guess something else that stands out for me is just it reiterates what I said about avoiding that Dallas-Detroit game. I mean, they are both – their defensive versus position is elite at, like, almost every position. Detroit's elite at every spot except point guard, and Dallas is elite at almost every spot except shooting guard, which is really weird because you think of Wes Matthews as – I think of him as, like, their best defender. So – How they give up, you know, the ninth most points to shooting guards is a little surprising. All right, move on to the plays. We got lots to talk about. It's already after 3 a.m. here, so let's get cracking. Need some water. Getting hoarse. Might be getting sick. I don't think the whiskey in the shower helped either. All right, Westbrook. Oh, Westbrook, how dare you? So he had his worst game of the year, I guess, on Tuesday. 33 FanDuel points. That's amazing. And the only good thing that I would say is his price came crashing down. It's down to 12K. I think it was 12. It was either 12.9K or 12.6K. I can't remember now. But either way, now it's down to 12K. The problem is he's got the worst possible matchup in the world. He's up against Utah, which gives up the fewest points to point guards. So. And I've been telling you this anyway, the last like 4, 5, 6, 7 games that Westbrook's played, he has not been in most of the winning lineups in most of the GPPs. He hasn't been giving you the 70, 80 FanDuel points. So he's been like hitting value barely. And I can't roll him out in cash on Wednesday. Tournaments though, sure. I mean, I'll still use a little of him in tournaments. You know, he's going to be furious. I mean, Oklahoma City just got destroyed by Damian Lillard and Portland, I think Portland lost four straight too. That was a bad loss for Oklahoma City. So an angry Russell Westbrook, a low ownership for him, tournament play. John Wall, 9.7K. I love Wall. I mean, because he's a 35.4% usage rate, which is just phenomenal. The price is coming up. It's at 9.7K. The pace of this game is not elite, but it's still going to be fine. And I think if you don't want Westbrook, you know, Wall is just a super safe play. That usage rate is just too good to pass up, I think. At least I need some exposure to Wall. So if you want to roll him out in tournaments, obviously, and cash games, he's fine too. Chris Paul at 9.6K. He's fine. I just don't want to spend up in a game I think is going to be really, really slow paced. I don't think Orlando, you know, as much as Orlando had fun putting up 150 on Tuesday night, that's not going to happen against the Clippers. The Clippers are similar to Dallas and Detroit. They're elite defending almost every position. So I think it's going to be kind of a more grinded out game. And quite honestly, the Clippers should blow the hell out of Orlando on a back-to-back. So, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Paul in this matchup at 9.6K. You know, it's okay, but I don't love it. Kyle Lowry, 8.7K. You know, I wish Lowry's usage rate was higher because it's only 27%. So there's 8 other point guards that are higher than him on the slate. But Philadelphia obviously can attack them. I don't know. I think Sergio Rodriguez is going to play. That guy is – I'm trying to think if there's a slower starting point guard in the NBA. I don't know how that would be humanly possible. So – you know, a very nice, easy matchup for Lowry. You know, can Philly keep that game close? Embiid's playing. I mean, maybe they can. Toronto's been playing some good basketball. But I think that's a fine matchup to attack. You know, I don't love that play either at 8.7K, but it's fine. It's relatively safe. Kemba Walker. I'm going to use a lot of Kemba again. I'm going back to the well in tournaments only. I don't think I'm going to roll him out in cash games because we don't know what's wrong with him because he's 22, 23 FanDuel points last game. He's been under 23 FanDuel points two of the last three games. The minutes are even down a little bit. So I'm not sure if he's got to be banged up or something that we're just not, he's trying to play through it right now. John Wall's, and Washington's been giving up a lot. I mean, I watched Dragic destroy John Wall, even though John Wall had a good game offensively on Monday night. Dragic tore him up. So, Kemba's kind of a similar type player in Dragic. And I think Kemba could have a nice night here. He's going to go low owned. No one wants to play Kemba Walker right now. That means the judge does. I want to attack the ownership level. I want to attack. It's still a very fair price. He still has really nice upside. I will be using him in tournaments. Goran Dragic. I love this Indiana-Miami game. I'm surprised how much I like it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just drunk right now. Or maybe by the time lineup lock hits on Wednesday, my thinking will have changed. But right now, I have Dragic locked into my cash games. He's 7.4K. I told you Indiana is a sneaky team you can attack in almost every position, and Dragic has been just very safe and tremendous. 47 and 39 his last two games against Washington and Chicago. He's just been really good all the way around. He's scoring the ball a ton. The usage rate continues to climb. As long as Deion Waiters is out, that means I'm going to be playing a hell of a lot of Dragic every night. And once Waiters comes back, then I'll probably reevaluate. But right now, Dragic is locked in, playing really good basketball. I love the matchup again. Jeff Teague defense doesn't scare me one bit. They give up the ninth most points to opposing point guards. Kyrie Irving, I don't know why I said that. He's out. Jeff Teague. So you can do a little stack here of go Dragic and Teague. I think that's perfectly fine to do. I think I prefer Dragic over Teague. Teague did well for me a couple nights ago when I played him. He had 37 FanDuel points. But before that, though, 22 and 23. Now that Paul George is back, I really don't want to use Teague in cash games at that price. I prefer him only in tournaments, especially on a large slate like this. Jeremy Lin, 6.7K. He looks great in his first game back for Brooklyn. The problem is he only got 20 minutes, and unless I hear otherwise, I can't play someone who – he had 27 FanDuel points, so that's better than a fantasy point per minute. But at 6.7K, he's got to get us like 33 FanDuel points. And, this is the best matchup of the night in terms of attacking the Lakers. And by some miracle, I hear that he's going to play 30 minutes. Maybe I'll throw him in some tournaments. But he's getting 20 minutes. That at that price, it's just not enough minutes. And that's one reason why this game kind of sucks for the Brooklyn guards. Because, Lin playing 20 minutes – it takes 20 minutes away from, maybe Kilpatrick gets, it hurts him a little bit. And otherwise, guys who we'd love to attack for Brooklyn, it makes it a little harder with Lin getting these spot minutes right now. Darren Williams, 6.3K. He's been really good and consistent. Just this Detroit-Dallas game on a 10-game slate with that 189 over-under, for the most part, I just don't want to do it. If you want to go that route in cash, I guess it's okay. Darren Collison, 6K. He's been a mediocre consistency monster. He's a lock for like 25 FanDuel points these days. He's going to get some Patrick Beverley defense though on Wednesday. So he's okay though. I mean, he still should get right around the 20 to 25 FanDuel points. D'Angelo Russell, another guy. I mean, the problem, the more you dig deeper in this Lakers Brooklyn game, there's all these guys on minutes, that are playing limited minutes. So Russell's coming back from this injury. He's played two games, 17 and 20 minutes. So at 6K, it's hard to play Russell. I want to attack Brooklyn. I want to. You got to give me minutes, though. I need minutes. 20 minutes, that I need more than that. So Russell, unless I hear otherwise, I don't think I can play him on Wednesday. Reggie Jackson, 5.6K. For the most part, I do want to avoid this Detroit-Dallas game, but I'm going to throw Jackson in a couple of tournaments. First game back, he looked good, I thought. And then since then, I don't think he's looked tremendous. He's looked okay. He's shooting the ball a lot because that's what he does. He's a freaking ball hog, and his teammates hate him. But this game is nasty, but that price is very fair, and his minutes are slowly creeping up. He got 28 and 29 last two. So at 5.6K, you tell me Reggie Jackson gets 30 minutes. even if it's against Dallas, he can give me 30 FanDuel points. So you want to go that route in like a tournament or two and see if he just gets hot, it's fine. I mean, he's the type of guy, you know, when I talk about usage rates, it's 32%. So it's to me, even though the game sucks, it's worth a shot in like a tournament. Patrick Beverley, 5.4K. His price keeps coming up. He keeps playing pretty well. 28, 27, 29, 37 his last four games. Versus Sacramento, Houston's playing way down in pace. But this is it's another play, man. If you've been watching Houston play, he's really confident right now. He's attacking the hoop. He's looking for a shot. He's you know, this was not the same guy I saw play last year. So he's okay to roll out in some lineups. Tyler Johnson. Yeah, he's another Miami guy that I like this game. I like attacking him. He's locked in into 30 minutes. That's like his floor right now. Josh Richardson, I think, is taking away maybe 2 to 3 minutes a night of Tyler Johnson, but he's still going to get you 20 to 25 FanDuel points. So I think he's quite honestly, he's relatively safe for cash. The upside, it's about 35 maybe. So you can roll him out in tournaments. Marcus Smart, 5.1K. So Boston's playing the Spurs. You know, we mentioned how Dallas, Detroit, the Clippers are all really good at defensive versus position almost every spot. The Spurs are very similar, man. At every spot except shooting guard, the Spurs are elite. They're like a top five, or like they allow them, you know, the five. It's very hard to say because when you look at DVP, there's all these numbers, right? There's either a 1 or a 30. And then figuring out if like is one good or bad, it's perplexing. Anyway, Santonio is very elite at every position except shooting guard, where they give up. I mean, they're basically middle of the pack in shooting guard. But so I don't love playing the Boston guys. I don't love Marcus Smart, but we need to play some value guys somewhere, and he's okay. I mean, he had 31 fantasy points last game against. But that was against Westbrook, who plays no defense. I think Smart's going to get you 25 FanDuel points, probably max, on Wednesday. So if you're fine with that, you can use him. Elfrid Payton, 5.1K. If you want to go back to the well and chase those points against Chris Paul, you can do it. The price is still very fair. I mean, his price has got to go up lately. I mean, now he's had 50 FanDuel point nights. That price has got to rise, even though he's not starting. You know, maybe I'll have a little exposure, but I don't want to play him a ton. I mean, he's going to be way too highly owned, I think, on Wednesday. Sergio Rodriguez, man, his price is all the way up to 5K now. This buster against Toronto. I mean, the thing here with Philly is TJ McConnell looked really good last game. So now is Coach Brown going to give TJ some more minutes and Sergio, you know, maybe they split time? I don't know. I mean, normally Sergio was a really good cash game player before he got injured. So I need to read up and see what Coach Brown is going to do. Jordan Clarkson, 4.9K. Look, I need exposure to this Lakers Brooklyn game. So, I mean, I'm going to be, you know, Jordan Clarkson, the minutes, now that Russell's back, the minutes are down. I don't love this play, but I'm going to use him a little bit in tournaments. You know, he's given you 24, 25 the last two games. He's super cheap, you know, as a way just to attack this game a little bit, you know, in tournaments, I'll use a little Jordan Clarkson. I won't feel good about it. I'm just going to try to find ways to attack the game, this Lakers-Brooklyn game. Other than that, under 5K, Terry Rozier, 4.3K is okay. I mean, Andrew Harrison, I guess him and Mac are the two best value plays on the day. You know, Harrison, he played really well on Tuesday, but for him really well, which is 29 FanDuel points. You know, that was with Marc Gasol out. So he, you know, his usage went up a little bit, but he's just not that good right now. He's so offensively challenged, I think. But if you really need to save, you can do it. You know, I would probably, if you want to go value guys, Harrison would probably be my cash game value play and Mac would be more of a tournament guy. You know, yeah, Max, he's still, even though he doesn't start, man, he still gets like between 28 and 30, 2 minutes a night, 4K against Russell Westbrook defense. Mac, you know, yeah, I like the Mac play a lot. So I'll be using him. And then TJ McConnell, just if he's starting for some odd reason over Rodriguez, you can load up on some TJ. One second. Talks amongst yourselves, guys. I need a 5-second breather.
Don't mind me.
Much better. I had to turn on some air conditioning, man. It's like super hot in my apartment. So I live in New York City, in case you guys didn't know. And then a lot of buildings, like, I have no control over my heat. So sometimes they jack up the heat when I'm, you know, in the winter, obviously. And I have no control over it. And it gets super hot. And it's really annoying. And it annoys the bailiff. The bailiff is a French bulldog. He has trouble breathing. So we need to keep it nice and cool in here. All right. Let's move on. Shooting guard. James Harden, 11.7K. Yeah. The top play for me on the slate is DeMarcus Cousins. Second best play is James Harden. So he's fine for cash games. He's fine for tournaments. You know, right now, I do not have him as a cash game player, but he's obviously perfectly fine for it. I mean, the thing about that you keep finding out, and I keep saying it, that these guys that are 12K, I mean, the Westbrooks, the Anthony Davises, the Hardens, you keep looking at winning lineups lately, and they have not been in them. So it would not surprise me one bit if that trend continues on Wednesday. But the one thing I'll say is I'm having trouble figuring out where to spend my money. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is a lock for me in cash. Well, other than that, you know, there's not any players I love who are highly priced. I mean, I like Harden. You know, I don't love the play on Wednesday. DeMar DeRozan, 8.4K. Against Philly, I think he's safe. Quite honestly, if you want to spend $3,000 less and just get a nice safe play at shooting guard, and I'm telling you, there's something for getting some safety. After a night when Westbrook destroyed us, Morrow destroyed me, you know, Cantor destroyed me, give me some DeMar, man. Let me just give me my 40 Fando points. Let me move on to my other 8 spots. So, you know, and Philly shooting guard, who's going to be guarding him? Stauskas? Gerald, 45-year-old Gerald Henderson, who shouldn't even be in the NBA anymore? I like DeMar, and I love his usage rate. Avery Bradley, 6.9K. I told you, you can attack someone at the Spurs shooting guard position, allegedly, if you believe in DVP. Avery Bradley's fine. I don't love this play. I mean, I don't love attacking the Spurs, even at shooting guard. He, without Isaiah Thomas, he obviously, his usage goes up, and he's been getting more shots. The production hasn't been fantastic. 28 and 24 the last 2 games, and that's not going to cut it. I need 35 Fando points. I mean, he can do it. It's fine. I just don't love it. And, I mean, if I had to go cash, I'd prefer the next guy, and that's Bradley Beal. 6.9K. I mean, Beal, he's going to get 38 to 40 minutes, and he's going to jack up shots. Obviously, on DK, he gets a 3-point bonus for you. 39 Fando points his last night out, 28, 35, 26, 34. I mean, right now, he's basically got, you know, he's going to give you, I think, these floors really close to about 28 Fando points, and his ceiling is probably maybe 45. And that's solid for cash games, and it's also fine for tournaments. Nicholas Batum, 6.8K. So Batum is you know, always the forgotten one because he's not flashy, but he's relatively safe. And quite honestly, if Kemba is really banged up, they're going to need some more Batum. Batum is he's going to get a lot of minutes. His usage rate is not great, but he's not really scoring reliant. He does, you know, he fills up the box score. Lately, he has not been getting any steals. He has one steal in the last 5 games, and that's annoying as hell. Because you know, he used to give you like 2 steals a game. So that's weird. I wonder what the hell's going on there. Maybe he's got Edward Scissorhands right now. But 6.8K. I'm trying to see what Washington is in DVP. Washington is sneaky good defensively at that position. They give the 8th fewest points. But, like, that's – yeah, I don't buy that at all. That doesn't scare me from playing Batum. I still like Beal over Batum. But if you want to pivot in the tournament and go Batum over Beal, I mean, you can do that. I think he's going to be really low on Wednesday. Lou Williams. Now that Lakers basically have everyone healthy, you know, Lou Williams is down to about 26 minutes a night. And for him – because he has a usage rate of like 32%. I told you, we need ways to attack this Lakers-Brooklyn game. So I'm going to use Lou Williams in tournaments. I don't want to use him in cash, although maybe against this matchup, this juicy matchup, you can, because he was playing just terrific. He had like 4 or 5, a stretch where he was just lights out. giving you 50 and 40 Fando point nights almost every night for a solid week or two. So he's an excellent play on Wednesday. I just wish Russell wasn't back, just getting 20 minutes and, you know, hurting everyone else's value a little bit. But, you know, have some, make sure you have some exposure to Lou Will. Wes Matthews, 5.8K. Yeah, I mean, the two guys who have been cash game staples for me have been Wes Matthews and Jay Crowder. Now, Wes Matthews gets KCP defense, and Jay Crowder gets Kawhi Leonard defense. So my two of my staples, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them on Wednesday. I still think Wes is fine for cash. I'm just going to think about it a little bit. He's for Dallas, you know, him and Harrison Barnes get all the shots in the world. He's been super consistent, 34, 35, 36 the last three games, and he's been basically above – his floor right now is 25, and the ceiling is about 35. Everything about him screams cash game play. Just the problem is that the pace of that game is going to be just nasty. Speaking of KCP, I think he's going to be back against Dallas, 5.7K. I prefer Wes over him. Now that Reggie Jackson's back, I don't know if I want to play KCP in cash games right now. His usage rate takes a hit because Reggie Jackson doesn't pass the ball. So KCP, maybe in tournaments, but not a great play, unfortunately, on Wednesday. Except he'll be really low owned. The people have in DFS, I don't know if you guys probably noticed this or not, have really short memories. So they forget fast, and they forget that KCP was giving you 30 to 35 Fando points a night 2 weeks ago. You know, I think we saw that with Mo Harkless. I actually played Mo Harkless a lot on Tuesday, and he put up over 35 Fando points, I think, at least last time I looked. But the problem, you know, he was doing that consistently for a long stretch. He got injured. Then he came back, had one bad game, and no one wanted to play him. His ownership was so small. It was like 5% or something on Tuesday. So something similar will probably happen to KCP. Everyone's going to forget about him. He's going to be low-owned. So even if you don't want to play him on Wednesday, just remember that the next time he plays. He's still a decent player. Takes a little hit with Reggie, but you can play him in tournaments going forward. Evan Fournier, 5.5K. Well, I mean, here you go. Do you want to test your luck? What do you think? Want to go back to the well? Are you chasing points? I guess if there's one Orlando guy I'm going to go back to on Wednesday, it's going to be Fournier. I don't mind attacking J.J. Redick, even though the Clippers are really good at defending every position. You can attack them a little bit at shooting guard. Fournier, it's a very fair price. I was surprised his price didn't go up because he's given you 38 and 40 Fando points the last two games. So I think he's still in play for me. He's probably the one Orlando guy I'll have little exposure to, and I guess Payton a little bit too. Sean Kilpatrick. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Lynn coming back eventually is going to really hurt Kilpatrick. If Lynn's only getting 20 minutes, Kilpatrick should still be fine. But you already saw it last game. And you talk about one-trick pony. He had only 16 Fando points. He had 7 turnovers last game, Kilpatrick. I mean, man, he must have been nervous with Jeremy Lin breathing down his neck. he knows his minutes are going down. So he did play 32 minutes, and that's important to me. So let's say Kilpatrick gets another 32 minutes against this disgusting, porous Lakers defense. Sign me up for that. I got to get exposure somewhere. So I'm not going to be a huge fan of Kilpatrick going forward once Lin gets heavy minutes. But right now, I think we can take advantage of it on Wednesday, and I'm going to. Eric Gordon, 5.3K. He's just been a really nice, safe play that has a safe floor and a decent ceiling. Now, last three games, the ceiling hasn't been there. It seems to be crashing or burning. 22, 22, and 24 Fando points. But at that price, that's fine. You know, it's not great, obviously, not elite. He's getting like 30 minutes a night. He just hasn't been making his shots lately. And actually, last game, he had 24 actual points. The problem with it, turnovers were the problem with him, too. He had 6 turnovers, which is – he doesn't handle the ball that much. So that's just bizarre. So he's still fine. He's always under-owned too. He's a nice tournament play, I think, on Wednesday. Tony Allen, if you want to go that route in cash games, I just don't ever like playing him that much. He's so old and so slow, but he's still been really good this year. So if you want to – like this Cleveland-Memphis game is going to be – just bizarre. I don't know what to expect right now. And how many minutes are they going to play these guys? I mean, I guess Memphis should blow out Cleveland, right? But Memphis isn't even that talented because they're so banged up. It's going to be a bizarre game. Other than that, Josh Richardson, I will definitely have some exposure to him. He's been disappointing. I mean, he's let us all down. So if you don't trust him, that's fine. Don't use him in cash. Use him in some tournaments. You can limit your exposure. I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to attack this Indiana-Miami game. So I'm going to use me some Jay Rich. Other than that, you got J.J. Redick. Okay for cash, I guess. Rodney Stuckey, if he plays, I will use him. He was playing so well on Monday, and then he banged knees. So you can look for him. And then where's my boys on where's my boy Liggins? God, there's so many bums. Where are you, Liggins? Here you go, DeAndre Liggins. So he's going to start for Cleveland. I was shocked that he started on Tuesday and played 32 minutes. I don't know where the hell that came from. I thought for sure, you know, guys like Shumpert would get more minutes and not Liggins, but he played 32 minutes. He's DeAndre Liggins. He's not very good, but look at his stat line: 3 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, and 2 steals. All of a sudden, you look up and he has 20 Fando points as the minimum salary. That's not bad. And now on Wednesday, no LeBron, no Kyrie, no Love. Shots for everyone. Shots for Liggins. Shots for McRae, who I'm going to mention in a second. So he's in play. I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen Liggins play too much, so I don't know how talented he is or not. So I'm going to do a little research and figure out how much exposure I want to play of Liggins. But I'm going to give him a look, and I will do the same thing with Jordan McRae. And I guess I didn't even mention J.R. Smith as well. Jordan McRae was basically during the offseason when J.R. Smith, he went unsigned for a long time. Jordan McRae was everyone was talking about how he was playing so great, I think in practice in summer league and in the preseason, that McRae was going to start if J.R. Smith didn't re-sign. He was going to get lots of minutes. He's similar to J.R. Smith. He's a gunner. He shoots. He's a scorer. So with all even if he's not starting, McRae's going to get, I'd say, 25 minutes probably on Wednesday. So I'm going to throw him in some tournaments. And the same with J.R. Smith. You know, I guess he's still playing, so he could jack up 20 shots on Wednesday. So he's going to be in play for me. Now, that game's going to be such a mess to watch. It's disgusting. It sucks when you're going to have guys like Liggins and McRae decide your fates. And even J.R. Smith deciding my fate, I feel it's just disgusting about. Small forward. PG-13, 8.3K. You know, Miami's got no Winslow, so who's going to be guarding Paul George? I guess it would be Magruder. I mean, I don't know who's going to be guarding him. McBob? God only knows. But either way, Paul George is in a very nice matchup here. He's been pretty good since he came back from that little injury. I think he's safe for cash. He's safe in all formats, and he's fine for tournaments. The thing is, I think I like the next guy a little bit more on Wednesday, at least in cash games, and that's Kawhi Leonard. Right now, I do have Kawhi in my cash games against Boston, 8.3K. He just feels like a nice, safe play. The last three games, he's been good to me. He's given me – he only played 27 minutes against Brooklyn. Granted, it's Brooklyn, and he gave you 46 Fando points, but he's been over 40 last three games. So maybe he's starting to come back and flash into form. More importantly, he's been over 30 actual points two of the last three games. The peripherals haven't been stellar. I think that's an anomaly, and that's going to pick up. He's going to start giving you more blocks, more steals, some assists, and rebounds. You know, he can fill up the stat sheet. He's got a 50, 60-point night coming. Jay Crowder's a solid defender, but I do like playing some Kawhi in cash games. And you can have some tournaments you can roll him out to. Gordon Hayward, 8.1K. Hayward's been pretty safe this year. Favors coming back, I think, will obviously hurt him in the long run. I don't think it's going to hurt him too much on Wednesday because I don't know how many minutes Favors going to get. Probably not a lot. But, I mean, Hayward's basically been a lot. His floor has basically been 36 Fando points with a ceiling of about 50, 55 since he's been back from that injury he dealt with. And he's a good play. Again, he is going to be dealing with some Andre Roberson defense, which is pretty solid. But OKC is going to be on a back-to-back, and I think Hayward's still a fine player. I like the usage rate, which is 29%, and he's going to be in play for me. Yeah, I mean, his usage rate is much higher than I keep looking at Paul George's usage rate, like trying to use my mind to like up it. It's stuck at 26.6%. Harrison Barnes, 6.3K. You can go that route in cash if you want. Yeah, he's another guy I normally like playing cash. Just that game disgusts me. Trevor Ariza, 5.7K. I don't know. He's been under the radar consistent. 24, 25, 23, 20, 30, 39, the last, you know, six games or so. You know, if you listen to me talk about Houston, it's basically Harden, dribbles, and Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, even guys like Sam Decker. They all stand by the three-point line, and they get 5, 6, 7, 8 three-point attempts a game. And if they make them, they have good nights. And if they don't, then usually not very good nights. Ariza is a little better played, at least in cash games, than those guys, because at least Ariza's minutes are consistent. So he's okay to use. I haven't been playing him that much lately. Jay Crowder, man, can we play Jay Crowder in cash going up against Kawhi Leonard? Oh man, if there's a day to fade Crowder, it might have to be on Wednesday. I mean, I can't remember the last time I played someone against Kawhi, especially in cash games. So I'm not sure if I want to do it. It sucks too, because the last game he played really well. He actually had 26 Fanduel points, but he had 27. He only played 27 minutes because he fouled out. I think he actually committed like four actual fouls in like the third quarter. It was, and he had picked up his fifth foul in the third quarter. It was disgusting because he's playing really well. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate, his price keeps going down for a number of reasons. One, because I told you that usage rate, and two, they're giving more minutes to Oubre, even though he played 37 minutes last game. He gave you 13 Fanduel points. The last four games, 13, 19, 22, and 10. So we can't use him in cash games anymore. Earlier in the year when I think Beal was out, we could. We can't anymore. You want to throw him in some tournaments or so, you can, although he hasn't shown any indication he's going to go off lately. Marcus Morris, 5.2K. I just don't want a whole lot of action in that game, although that's a very fair price for him. Under 5K, Peasant Covington, 4.7K. He gave you 30 Fanduel points last game out against Detroit. So when his shot's falling, he's going to give you 30, 35, even a 40 Fanduel point night. If it's not falling, he's going to give you 10 Fanduel points, and you're going to cry in some whiskey. And it's most likely going to be closer to the 10. MKG, and MKG's price is just, it seems so good on the surface. It's down to 4.7K. He's shown like flashes of coming back to life, 25, then 6, and then 26 Fanduel points, two of the last three games. He's been pretty good. So that's a fair price for him, man. It's just, I mean, the problem with him is I think I prefer Damari Carroll still in cash games over MKG. Damari Carroll's 4.3K. So there's some nice value at that small forward. Damari Carroll, he's probably going to be, you know, and I'm not going to probably use Jay Crowder. I'll probably just go over to Damari Carroll for my second cash game spot. I'll probably use go right now. I have Kawhi and Damari in there. Also, let's see. You want to go back to Finney Smith? I know he won our boy Matt Millions a grand or so on Monday. You can use some Finney Smith. I probably won't use it too much of him on Wednesday. Roberson, you can roll him out. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson is a cheap way to get exposure to this Lakers Brooklyn game. You know, Hollis Jefferson, he's the minutes have been down. He's only I think he's coming off injury too, so that's why I think that's why at least he's only played 15 and 19 in the last two games. He's given you 21 and 21 fantasy points. So if you want like a sneaky play in tournaments, going to go under owned, he normally should excel in a fast paced game. So I got to check the news and see why he's not getting more minutes. It's a sneaky way to get exposure to that game. All right, let's move on to power forward. Blake Griffin's 9.1K against Orlando. Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, I think in one of the early projections I was looking at, he was projected to have a really nice night on Wednesday. Orlando has no one to match up against him at the power forward spot. You know, I guess it would be Ibaka, but Ibaka's not the same defender he used to be, even though he still blocks a shot occasionally and acts like he's, you know, saved the world from hunger. It's just so annoying. Shut up, Serge. So Blake's fine. Like, I just don't have the money to use him in cash games, but you can do it. In tournaments, he's fine too. Derek Favors, no, just not going to get enough minutes. Julius Randle, yeah, I'm going to play him in tournaments just because Lakers Brooklyn game, we have to attack somewhere. He's one of the players who are at Magic Mountain with me on the roller coaster. Very hard to predict. Not a cash game player, but he does have monster upside, and Brooklyn sucks. So Randle for tournaments. Serge Ibaka, 6.2K. I won't play a ton of him, and as much as I make fun of him and call him reverse Benjamin Button, dude, he like makes me eat it every night. 38, 37, last two games. I didn't play him at all on Tuesday, and it hurt me. Granted, power forward was loaded on Tuesday night if you played. I mean, God, I liked like 12 different players at that spot. But he's on a back-to-back. You know, I don't think he can do better. I think he can do better, so I don't want a ton of surge exposure. He'll be super low-owned, though. Trevor Booker, ding, 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 ding. The judge is going to load up on Trevor Booker. This Laker-Brooklyn game could not be more better suited for him. He thrives in these up-and-down games. Dude, he's been so good this year. He fills up the stat sheet. He's not dependent on scoring. He'll get you. And look at his last game, 10 points, 13 rebounds, one assist, four steals. And he gets just two to three steals a night pretty easily. Love this play. I'm fine with it. Right now I have him in cash games, quite honestly, and I love it for tournaments. Normally he's not a cash game player, but just because this matchup is screaming at me to play it, you know, right now I do have him in cash games as well. Tobias Harris, 5.9K. If you want to pivot off of Booker and go Harris a little bit, so you know, in a tournament or so, you can do it. Just that game, that Detroit-Dallas game, you know, I'm like a broken record, right? It's a disgusting game. Zach Randolph, yeah. I used him a lot on Tuesday, and he came through for me. He looked great without Gasol. He had over 30 Vandal points. He played 31 minutes, 32 Vandal points. He's a fantasy point per minute guy. The problem is on a back-to-back. Marc Gasol is coming back. I would expect him to play 24 minutes, and I think you can do better on Wednesday. Ilyasova, this is a tough one for me. I don't know what to do with him. I have to get exposure somewhere because he's flashing his 50 Vando point potential, and the ceiling is immense, and he's been getting 34, 32, 40, 36, 30 minutes. And throughout his career, he's been a fantasy point per minute guy. Power forward, it's similar to Tuesday. I really like the power forward position, so it's going to be hard to figure out which two guys I want to play. Quite honestly, he's fine if you want to go that route in cash games, and he's going to be a nice tournament play as well. Jermichael Green, yeah, again, I'm just not going to – that. I just don't want to touch that game that much, and Memphis should destroy Cleveland, so I don't think I want to go Jermichael Green on – although he's fine for cash if you really want to. I don't want to. Cantor, he killed us on Tuesday, so he'll probably go off against Utah on Wednesday, but tournaments only. Markieff Morris, if there's one guy on Washington besides – no, that actually doesn't make sense at all because I was going to say if there's one guy besides John Wall that I'll attack or use on Washington, it's Markieff Morris, but that's not true because I like Beal as well. But I like Markieff at 5K. It's just a nice safe play. I'm perfectly fine with this in cash. If you're not comfortable using Trevor Booker, I think, you know, it's fine to go Markieff in cash if you want to save a little bit. And at that price, he's still fine in tournaments too. He does have 40 Fanduel point upside if Reggie Jackson just passes him. Oh, see, I'm getting the Morris brothers confused. That's how you know it's getting late. I got Marcus and Markieff confused. No, John Wall does pass the ball. Reggie Jackson doesn't. So whereas Marcus Morris, you know, shots are going to go down. Markieff's Morris shots should be fine. So 5K, he's fine to play. Ryan Anderson, 4.9K. Just do it. You can do it in tournaments. He's, like I said, he's going to get a lot of open 3-point looks. Yeah, just whatever. He's I hate playing him. I always get him wrong. I mean, don't you? I'm sure you all of you guys as well have players you can just never get right. You always play him on the wrong night. And for me this year, it's Ryan Anderson. Thad Young, my boy Thad, he's still 4.9K. He kind of let me down last game. So he did really well against Portland because every power forward does against Portland, except Enes Kanter. But against Charlotte, he only had 18 Fando points. He still played 30 minutes, though. And the good thing about this is his price is still fantastic. It's 4.9K. So if you're going to tell me Thad Young is going to get 30 minutes at 4.9K against a busted-up Miami team with like Josh McRoberts guarding him, I'm going to use me some Thad Young. I think I had him at like 2%, you know, on Saturday over the weekend. He was low-owned again. He was around 10% on Monday. He's going to be really low-owned again on Wednesday. I'm going to go back to the well a little bit in tournaments. My other cash game play is Omar Caspi. If Rudy Gay is out, and I think he's doubtful, Caspi is probably going to be a lock-and-load guy in my cash games. He should easily get us 20 to 25 Fando points. The problem with saying that is I said that so many times about that guy. He started some games last year with George Karl, and he let me down so many freaking times. He cost me a lot of money last year. But there was one night where he made me like 10 grand, so I kept playing him. He's got talent. He really does. The problem with also the other problem, he thrives in an up-tempo game. And right now Sacramento is playing at this, you know, this turtle pace, which I don't know why they're doing that, but they are. For cash games, though, he's still fine. And quite honestly, for tournaments, he does have some upside. He should get lots of minutes. It's a nice play on Wednesday. Other than that, you can go Marvin Williams. You can go Dario Saric. You can use a little Dwight Powell. And, that's about it. And by the way, I know every day I get tweets from you guys, and you guys are like, Judge, how could you not name player X? Or Judge, how can you not name player Y? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I try to keep the show to an hour, which you guys know me, I ramble. So that's hard. Also, it's hard for me just to name every player, right? So I'm certainly going to miss players each day. Can't name everyone. I try to get to everyone, but it's sometimes it's just not possible. DeMarcus Cousins, 11.5K. Top player on the board on Wednesday. He should destroy Clint Capella. I love the fact that Sacramento is playing up in pace. Boogie, 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 boogie all day long for me on Wednesday. Cash game lock. Tournaments, I will use him a lot as well. Whiteside, 8.7K. I was trying to find Whiteside's or Indiana's DVP versus centers, but I think I read it right at the top of the show. I think, they give him the 10th most points. I mean, I like both centers in this matchup. I like Miles Turner and I like Whiteside. Obviously, Whiteside's a lot more expensive, 8.7K. I'll use Whiteside in tournaments. Centers is pretty nice on Wednesday. So, yeah, I mean, I don't love Whiteside. I'll use him a little bit. I mean, the problem is he's got to give us 45 Fando points. And the last four games, he's had some stinkers, 42, 39, 18, and 20. The one complaint I have about Dragic is some games, you know, he doesn't get Whiteside the ball enough. Drummond's 8.4K. Even though Bogut's out, Dallas is still pretty good defensively. Mostly they're good defensively because the pace is just so dang slow. Drummond's been playing a lot better, so his price has rose or risen, I guess I should say. Yeah, I don't love that play here. Al Horford, 7.9K. Yeah, I don't want a ton of him against San Antonio. Rudy Gobert, 7.6K. I normally do not like attacking Steven Adams, and Gobert's price has come up. But he's been really good. It's hard to ignore. 44, 42, 40, 47 in the last four games. OKC is going to be coming on a back-to-back. And it's not like I'm relying on Rudy Gobert to give me offensive production. I am a little bit concerned about Derek Favors taking some rebounds away. Once Derek Favors starts getting heavy minutes, that will become a more vital concern. Just a little concern for me on Wednesday, not too big. But Rudy is still a fine – he's okay to play. I don't love it. Brooke Lopez, the price has come up at 7.5K. But he's playing the Lakers. I want some Brooke Lopez. He's $4,000 less than Cousins. So if you want to go that route in cash, you can do it. He's a fantasy point-per-minute monster. If he plays 32 minutes against the Lakers, I think he's going to give me 45 Fanduel points. He's an elite play. The usage rate's phenomenal. Just, yeah, play Brook Lopez. DeAndre Jordan, whatever. He's so boring. He does nothing offensively. Whatever. Yeah, no, not really. Embiid. Wow, Embiid's price has come up. So Embiid, 7K, playing Toronto. You guys know I like Valanciunas. I think Valanciunas is a dang good defender as well. Embiid does have a 36% usage rate. I think it's second most in the league, or maybe it's third after Westbrook and Harden. So the problem here is this. So now Embiid is 7K, and he can only get 28 minutes. So he's got to get his 35 FanDuel points hit value. Most of the time this year, he's been right around that mark. But I think that's a tough ask against Toronto, and I don't want to use Embiid in cash games. I just don't want to do it, even with that usage rate. I mean, you can, and I know some people will, but I just think you have some better options on Wednesday. I'll use him a little bit in tournaments, but it's just not a great spot for him. I am excited to see him go up against Valanciunas though and see what happens. Miles Turner, I told you, man, you can attack Whiteside offensively. So I'm going to be using a little bit of Turner. 6.2K, I think, is a fair price for him. He put up a 40-burger against Charlotte his last time out. He put 33 the game before that. So I told you, I like this Indiana-Miami game. It's a sneaky game. I think people are going to overlook it. Miles Turner is a nice play. Probably tournaments only, but I like it. Other than that, Gortat, 6K. Gortat's, you know, kind of a nice, safe, not sexy cash game play. Who you can occasionally roll out in tournaments. I always roll out one John Wall Gortat game because I want if Wall goes off, it's going to be because he had 5-6 assists to Gortat. Hopefully, Clint Capella going up against Boogie. So Clint's price keeps falling, and it's because the minutes keep falling, the production keeps falling. I could easily see Houston giving a lot of minutes to Harrell or Nene because Clint is just too thin. He's not big enough. You know, width-wise to handle Cousins. So, I don't love this matchup for him. Steven Adams, 5.3K. I don't play anyone against Gobert. I don't see any reason for that to change. Valanciunas, he's always my sneaky ninja. I will play him against Embiid in tournaments, and I'm going to get him at under 5% owned. And he could give me 35, 40 FanDuel points. He plays minutes on a matchup basis. So every second that Embiid is out there, Valanciunas is going to be out there. I'm telling you, man, he's a very skilled offensive player. He's good all around. He's just Dwayne Casey just hates him, and for some reason takes out. You know, when Dwayne Casey's wife yells at him at home, then Dwayne Casey takes out on Valanciunas. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Tristan Thompson, 5K. I guess so, man. Right? He's one of the only Cavs playing the regular starters playing. So. If you want to roll him out a little bit, you can maybe get some more shots. He probably loves not having LeBron, Kyrie, and Love there because he never gets to shoot. He never gets to touch the ball. What's his usage rate? Just for fun. It's got to be worse than Otto Porter, right? If that's even possible. Oh, my God. His usage rate is 9.2%. It's lower than even Salah Mejri. Who's got a 10.7%? Oh, man. It'd be awesome if, like, Tristan Thompson takes, like, 20 shots on Wednesday. How great would that be? So, whatever. I don't want to play him, though. Okafor, not with Embiid. I really don't want to play Okafor too much. He's 5K, maybe. Zeller, no. Bismack at 4.4K. If you really need to save, I guess you can go Bismack if at a value play. And Salah. If Kylo Quinn gets you 40, maybe Salah is going to come through and give you 30 FanDuel points for Dallas, although I doubt it. Although he gave you 27 last game. I mean, the minutes are going to be between 10 and 24. He is similar to 2-0 Quinn, except not as skilled, but he can't stay out of foul trouble. That's his biggest problem. If he can stay out of foul trouble, he's going to get some minutes for Dallas. He's, you know, up against Drummond. Drummond plays no defense. So maybe Salah in one tournament just for kicks and giggles. All right, that's it. I think we got through everyone. I don't know if I feel better about this slate or worse. I think I feel okay. It's starting to make sense. Talking it out helped a little. Hopefully it helped you guys. I'm sure we will communicate a lot on Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of news. Make sure you're monitoring it. Again, if you want it, Chambers, hit me up. We've got to figure out a better way to go about Chambers the rest of the year. But for the time being, you know, just tweet at me if you want in, if you haven't been able to get in, if you think you're worthy to enter and challenge the best, let me know. And other than that, I hope Tuesday you made some money and you did better than me. But Wednesday, we seek redemption, we seek vengeance, and we shall dominate. All right, guys, that's it. I got to go to bed, man. I'm exhausted. The judge is out. The court is adjourned.